Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Kest. In Baltimore, nearly one out of four residents is considered food insecure. That means they often aren't sure where their next meal will come from. In some neighborhoods, the only access to food is corner stores and small restaurants. That makes it hard for families to buy fresh fruits and vegetables. Working to address this gap is the Baltimore Free Farm, which collects unwanted produce from grocery and wholesale markets and distributes this food at sites around the city. All the food is free for anyone to take home. Matthew Burke is a longtime volunteer with the Free Farm, and now he's been awarded one of this year's Open Society Institute Baltimore Fellowships. He'll receive $60,000 over the next 18 months to expand the Baltimore Free Farm's reach. The Open Society Institute is a nonprofit that supports proposals to benefit Baltimore's underserved communities, from helping young people start their own businesses to providing families with a safe place for their baby to sleep. Matthew, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Sheila.
Where does the food you distribute come from?
The food comes from various local distributors and grocery stores. Most of it is considered number two food. It's food that cannot be sold. So on a daily basis, myself, as well as other volunteers, will go to local distributors in the area in Jessup, as well as several local grocery stores, Mom's Organic Market, Trader Joe's, for example. And this is food that, you know, it's still perfectly edible.
I was going to say, what is number two food?
So if you can imagine a tray of apples, and at any given grocery store, they want this produce to look perfect. So the number two stuff is the stuff that is imperfect. So if you can imagine yourself in a grocery store looking at a cart of perfect apples, and one or two have spots on them, almost intuitively, you will not buy the spotty apples. So the grocery store won't buy the spotty apples, the distributor can't sell the spotty apples, and it goes on up the food chain from there. And at the end of the day, nearly 40% of the food in this country is wasted simply because it's imperfect.
So that's the food that you collect?
That's what we take in. Right now, we're taking in about 2,000 pounds a week. We expect that number to grow as we expand. As of this interview, we have three sites in operation. These are all around Baltimore in struggling, underprivileged communities and food desert neighborhoods.
When you say site in operation, you mean a distribution point?
A distribution point, yes. So we're partnering with 12 different local churches, community centers, and businesses in order to expand this network and in order to get people in these neighborhoods involved and just spread the food justice conversation throughout Baltimore.
So the three sites where people can go now to get food or go when you're there are where?
So currently our three sites are Yo Baltimore West Side. That's in the Harlem Park neighborhood. We distribute there on Tuesdays at noon. Our longest running site is at the Baltimore Free Farm in Hamden on Ash Street. That's Wednesdays at noon. And a site that we started just over a year ago is Dovecote Cafe in Reservoir Hill. That's Thursdays at 4 p.m. Our fourth site, that's the Grace Baptist Church off the Alameda.
Back up for me. How do you feel when you see all the food that would go to waste if you didn't collect it?
When I first started volunteering with the Free Farm, I saw all of this food that we were putting out. And it all looked delicious. It all looked perfectly edible. It was in good shape. It was hard to imagine that this was going to waste. And then I was told that day that this makes up about 40% of the food in the country. Now, it's easy to be embarrassed or disparaged by the idea that we live in a society that that wastes food so frivolously and on an industrial level. I mean, even before we as consumers have the option of buying it. But what I felt that day was an opportunity because, you know, this food, just letting it end up in landfills to rot isn't saving anybody money. It's actually costing people money. So the resources are there.
It's a system that could work in terms of the finances and the economics because it is a valuable thing that has been unvalued.
Absolutely. That told me that there is enough food being wasted in this country that every single struggling person in this country can eat for free.
So when people come to pick it up, how much can they take?
We don't put any formal restrictions on who can come or how much they can take, although there is a bit of informal, you know, discussion happening at these sites. You know, if somebody is taking a lot of one thing, you know, we'll just politely ask them, hey, consider the other people around you as well.
And how many people tend to show up?
At a given site, usually between 2 and 5 dozen people. Now, these people are also coming on behalf of family members and friends and others in their community. So every week at every distribution point, we're able to reach between 100 and 150 people on average.
That's Matthew Burke. Here on The Record on WIP, I'm Sheila Cast. Burke has received a grant from the nonprofit Open Society Institute to expand the Baltimore Free Farm, which collects unwanted healthy food and distributes it across the city. Okay, this food is perhaps a bit blemished. It's still basically good, but it's still sort of closer to the end of its life than some of the stuff one gets in a grocery. So what happens to the stuff that doesn't actually get into a consumer's hands before it's spoiling?
Well, all of the food that we take in that isn't edible gets composted. So even with the stuff that's bad, it will eventually go back into the ground and use to grow new good food. However, one of the assets of having a system like this where we have multiple giveaways throughout the week is that we're constantly able to cycle through our food resources and make sure that a minimum amount of food does go to waste. So if there are leftovers from any one giveaway, they can be given out within 24 hours.
What types of food are you collecting this time of year?
This time of year, you know, we're getting a lot of squash. We always get a lot of eggplant. But that's to say it changes every week. At your average giveaway, we might have 500 to 1,000 pounds worth of food to give away. Most of that is produce, also some grocery items. But like I said, on a weekly basis, you're always going to find something new. You're always going to find something that you've never used before, and that can be very empowering to people to come and take something that they've never prepared with and to take it home and make a meal out of it and have some success in that.
Is all the food you distribute produce?
I would say about 80% of what we distribute is produce, although there are also grocery items that we take in, food that's on the verge of reaching its expiration date, day-old bread, things like that.
So food like canned things that might be reaching their expiration.
Sometimes canned things, frozen things, different things from your grocery aisle, dairy products, you name it, really.
And how do you transport the food?
The food is all transported either by myself or by one of our volunteers. We have a growing volunteer base that goes on weekly food runs either to the distribution center in Jessup, where our two main partners, Koosman's and Hungry Harvest, are, or to any number of local grocery stores throughout the week.
So when you think of what you're going to do as an OSI fellow, more distribution points? I mean, what is the growth you foresee over 18 months?
The goal is 12 distribution points by the end of the 18 months. And as we implement each new distribution point, each one will be implemented one at a time to make sure that any unforeseen obstacles or all resources are accounted for before we start another giveaway. The goal there is to never have to miss a single giveaway. And in 6 years of doing this, we have not missed a single giveaway. And then throughout the course of the 18 months, after a giveaway is implemented, we'll be working on site to train volunteers and to train various staff members from these individual sites in order to oversee the giveaway and go on the food runs themselves. So at the end of this 18 months, if I can't find additional funding to continue to make this my full-time job, it will be able to survive without me.
How will it survive without you?
Through on-site autonomy, through over the course of the next 18 months, training volunteers, amassing a growing volunteer base, and basically establishing at these various sites what we've already established at the Baltimore Free Farm and at Dovecote Cafe, which is a volunteer-run food giveaway location that operates once a week and is reflective of the people in these communities and the people who are involved in the project.
What do you get out of this? Why do you work so hard to make sure people don't go hungry?
To me, it's just tremendously fulfilling to be involved in this. Again, I wasn't making any money doing this until just earlier this month, and I've been doing it for 5.5 years. And, you know, the first day that I volunteered at the Baltimore Free Farm, it reconfirmed what I already knew in my past, which is that kindness can be extraordinarily rewarding on both ends. I think just about everyone deserves a little bit of kindness in their life, but there are a lot of people throughout this city that don't get that on a regular basis. And one of the things that's very rewarding for me is to just have an outlet on a weekly basis to show people a little bit of kindness and to engage people based on that kindness and to allow them that same outlet. And to me, that's tremendously fulfilling.
Thanks for telling us about it, and good luck.
Thank you.
Matthew Burke is a 2017 Open Society Institute Fellow. He'll be working over the next year and a half to expand the Baltimore Free Farm, a volunteer-run effort to rescue and distribute unwanted but nutritious food. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we have a link to the Baltimore Free Farm. Over the coming week, we'll continue profiling this year's cohort of 10 OSI fellows. We'll learn about a variety of projects, from urban farming to innovations in crib safety. We have a link to the OSI projects at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Tune in tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.